is our country. We must fight to keep her free. To doubt, so I must stand up and shout. Let's save our country from the sea to shining sea. It's too late.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Word of the Most High radio show with your host, David James. This show is about the Everlasting Father, the most wonderful counselor, the wonderful counselor. And he is worthy, you know that. This is another continuation on the Apostle Paul, of course, which we will be doing for some time. I have some very interesting things for you to contemplate during this show. The Father keeps placing things before my eyes. Right before the show, another thing was placed before my eyes that I began to laugh as I walked out of the room to get my coffee and water. And boy, are you going to like this show. Or if you're an Apostle Paul fan, you might not be so happy. Before I go into the Apostle Paul, after I took a bath, I was drying off and I was thinking. And it dawned on me about baptism. Now, the Catholic Church says that baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. So we are baptized for the forgiveness of sins. But I submit to you that that is an untruth. Why would I say such a thing? Because then why was Jesus baptized by John the Baptist? Did he need forgiveness of sins? Good point, isn't it? You just think about that. Okay, another thing that's very interesting. Infant baptism done by the Catholic Church. If a child has just come into the world, why would he need to be baptized if he has not committed any sins? I'll tell you why. There's a doctrine that was brought out in Tobit, I believe it is, about original sin, which is a false doctrine. Jesus never said anything about original sin. You see, though Adam and Eve caused our race to fall, that doesn't mean we were born in original sin. In other words, when you're born, you're a sinner. Abraham did okay, all right? And a lot of the people of the scriptures did well. But there are others who have sin. But you see, if you just think about what I'm saying, the doctrine of original sin is not true. It's not biblical. And these things get introduced some way or somehow. And it's funny how the smallest thing like that can be brought into a doctrine of devils. So I wanted you to think about that, and I think that you will realize that, wow, there is something to that, isn't there? Isn't that interesting? So is the Catholic Church saying that Jesus is a sinner? Remember, when you go into many of the churches of the world, Christ is still hanging on the cross. He's being crucified every day. And never resurrected. This is blasphemy, and this is done deliberately. And the people don't know any difference. It's just another one of the images they make. So, I wanted you to know that in my Apostle Paul study that's on davidjamesboston.com, I had put a bunch of scriptures at the end of the message. And within some of those scriptures, nobody's called me on it yet, but, I mean, you don't really have to call me, but, you know, nobody said, wow, you know, look at this, you know. The Apostle Paul, when I went through those scriptures, and I'm going to remove some of those scriptures, the Apostle Paul says some very interesting things, which I noticed that he said a lot, and I'm going to show you those things. If you wanted to turn with me, you could go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 2. Now he says, for ye know, I could read verse 1 if you want. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord, you know, they use the word Lord again, by Jesus Christ, that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. See, we've been told everything we needed to know by Jesus. Hey, how do you sum up the law, ladies and gentlemen? You know, right? You know what the golden rule is, right? First, you love Yahweh thy God with thy whole heart, mind, and soul, and spirit, right? And then you love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, this sums up the whole law. And very, very wise it is that he said that, because if you go through the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments, you'll notice that he tells you that we must... The first commandment is to love him, and to make no images is the second commandment, and so on and so forth. And then he talks about how we shouldn't covet our neighbor's wives or their things, or, you know, don't steal, don't murder, any of these types of things. If you love your neighbor, you won't murder him. If you love your neighbor, you won't steal off him. If you love your neighbor, you won't try to steal his wife. If you love your neighbor, you won't covet his goods, etc., etc. So if these two things sum up the whole law, so there's no need for any more commandments, are there? I mean, the Father gave statutes, right? But listen to what Paul is saying here. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by Jesus, I'll say, because he uses the term, you know, that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so you would abound more and more. For listen very carefully to this statement. For ye know what commandments we gave you by Jesus. In other words, Paul has come up with new commandments. That is exactly what he means. Because he's saying that he exhorts you and beseeches you to receive of Paul and his cohorts, of how ye ought to walk and to please God. Now, we already know how to walk and please God. He who loves the Father and obeys his commandments, right? Correct? But he said, for ye know what commandments we gave you by, and he says, the Lord Jesus. You understand? He gave you more commandments. He added to the word. Paul is almost, I guess he's as equal to God that he can make commandments. Even Yeshua didn't make commandments. I mean, of course he did when he was with the Father in the beginning, but what I'm saying is when he spoke the gospel, for instance, if you went to Mark, well, is it Mark? Oh, I think it was 5:19, if I remember. Let me just check this real quick. I think it's Matthew 5:19. Let me just check it real quick. And I'm learning so many things all the time, and it is amazing. I believe it is 5:19, though. Let's go to 5. I'm trying to find where he said, maybe is it 17th? See, this is where he's talking about, think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have come not to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, while I'm there, you understand what he said there? He came to fulfill. What part of the law did he come to fulfill? He did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. In other words, he did not come to have you take the older part of the Testament and throw it away and it's no good anymore because he has taken care of all that. See, that still remains. The older part of the Testament still remains. Isn't that clear? This is a good thing we went to this. But when he says, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. What did he fulfill? The sacrificial part of the law. It's not that he got rid of the law, but he fulfilled as a one-time sacrifice that we no longer need to go to the priests and sacrifice pigeons, etc., 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 because he has fulfilled that part of the law. You see? But what I was saying was that Jesus Christ said, and I just don't know where this is right this second, he said when he came and preached, it was not his own things that he was preaching, it was what the Father had taught him. So he did not come and teach anything new or give any new commandments or anything like that. He came and did what the Father commanded him to do. So, you know, this is a very, very interesting thing when you think about this. So let's go back now, okay? So Paul has said here that, for ye know what commandments we gave you. See, these are added commandments. See, because if it was the commandments that the Father had given, he would have said, for ye know what commandments the Father gave us. Right? See, Paul has made it so that whatever he says, whatever he sees, whatever he deems for us to do, it is authorized by who he says the Lord Jesus is. But that is not so, because Jesus himself said that if you add to these or take away from it, you will be cursed by the things in this book. You see, this is very interesting. So if you doubt what I'm saying, we can always go and we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Yep. And go down to verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of, he says, the Lord, the commandments of Yahweh. Listen, you don't believe me? Listen, think, listen to this carefully now. In fact, in verse 36, he says, what? Came the word of Yahweh out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, listen very carefully. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of Yahweh. And he says the Lord, of the Lord. Okay? So Paul has elevated his own self, which is against biblical principles, you see, because he who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. So he is telling you here that whatever he says to you or writes unto you, these are the commandments of Yahweh. They're equal. He, as a matter of fact, he's equal with God at this point because he's able to make new commandments for the brethren. If you really doubt what I'm saying, you should think about that. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 7, and I want to start in verse 5. He answered and said unto them, and this is Jesus speaking, well hath Isaiah prophesied, that's Isaiah, prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see, I would say that that describes the Apostle Paul. And you may think that that's wrong, but I think you need to think about it. In other words, the Apostle Paul says a lot of things, but he exalts himself and gives himself privileges and appoints himself to things that he just automatically says that the Father automatically does. Whatever he says is automatically written in. So, but listen, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Are you hearing? Howbeit in vain do they worship me, the Apostle Paul, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The Apostle Paul is just a man. And when he says he's making commandments, those are commandments of men, are they not? I mean, simply, I'm not twisting words here. That's exactly what it is, isn't it? Isn't the Apostle Paul making up new doctrines and commandments? And he's just a man. So he says, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do, like such like things ye do. In other words, you know, they have all these things in the Talmud about washing your hands and all this nonsense. And listen to what he said in verse 9. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. It's very interesting if you think about these things. See, these things have been in front of you all along, just like all things. A woman told me, a friend of mine, told me something very interesting about Solzhenitsyn. Now, you see, I told you I don't know everything. And the reason why she wrote me was because I had said he wasn't a heretic. And the reason I said that was because I thought really heretics have only to do with the church body, so to speak. However, she tells me I'm going to find out some interesting things and I'm going to tell you about it. She says that he's a Bolshevik, which means he's a Jew. And you see the trickery. She talked about how whoever writes the account first is the one that's deemed the one that, you know, that's right about the account. But she said that he wrote poems about killing German women. So there's a lot we have to understand that, you know, we've been tricked in so many ways. Like I told you I don't know everything. I told you that I'm learning always, but I am coming to the knowledge of the truth. There are many people that talk about learning, always learning, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth, as the scriptures say. We are coming to the knowledge of the truth in so many things. It is amazing. So though we've read these things many, 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 many times, look at what's coming out of it now. Look at what is being seen. Laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. The Apostle Paul is making commandments. So, let's look. We looked at 1 Corinthians. I actually kept notes for this show because there were scriptures that I needed to remember. Now, in Ephesians 2:15, you might want to go there with me. I'm going to start at the beginning, though, because this is the thing that the Father gave me right before the beginning of this show. Let me take a sip of coffee while you turn to Ephesians 2:15. But just start at the beginning, folks. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewithin he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And then somebody put in parentheses, by grace ye are saved. Now listen to this for a moment. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Now, are we to be raised into heaven? Now, I had said before, and of course it says in the book of Revelations, that the martyrs are crying out, they're dressed in white, and they are crying out to the Father, when are you going to avenge us? And it's very interesting that a lot of the confusion from the scriptures comes from the Apostle Paul. He talks about those that are the dead shall be. You'll see here. You'll see what I'm saying. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, he says right here. But he says, interestingly enough, and I want you to think about this very deeply. He says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But here he says that he hath quickened us together with Christ and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. And then he says it right here. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, you see, right there, that is juxtaposed to what Jesus Christ said about obeying, you know, the law is summed up in these two things that I explained to you before. He that loves me and obeys my commandments. He that loves me and obeys my commandments. See, it's not free. If it were free, it wouldn't be worth anything. As you see in this world, If somebody tells you, you get this free, you know it's a trick, right? See, I don't mean that any harm by this, but what I'm saying is he's trying to say that what he's doing is he's universalizing everything. He's saying that, and you'll see this very quickly here in a few seconds here as I read on. But we are redeemed, we that are the children of Yahweh, we that are his literal bloodline, his literal offspring, we are to be redeemed because we lost something in the garden, right? I've talked about it many times. And what Paul is doing is he's doing the same things the Jews are doing in our nation now. He's saying, oh, it's a free gift. Come get welfare. Come, you'll have free housing. You'll have everything the haves in the nation who are Yahweh's children. You'll have everything they have. It's free. All you have to do is believe in it and go sign up for it. Say a little thing, sign a little note. You're in. See, this is deception, ladies and gentlemen. And this is juxtaposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just that clear that this is not right. Listen what he says. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which Yahweh hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now listen very careful right here, right now. Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Listen carefully. That at a time you were without Christ, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Let me stop right there. And strangers, listen, I better go on. And strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Number one, Yeshua did not tell anybody to go to the Gentiles. That's number one. And Gentiles meaning those that are the uncircumcision. Those, the Romans would be the uncircumcised, even though they are of Pharaoh's Judah, right? Very interesting what he's saying. You see, he's bringing in every dog, every stranger, everyone that's a have-not and has no promise or no part in the covenants or no hope in the kingdom, like Jews don't have any hope in the kingdom. Listen very carefully. Think about it. See, you take it, you Christians, and I don't mean the brothers and sisters that know what I'm talking about, that know that we are the true Israel of the Bible. See, this is taking advantage of you, saying, oh, at a time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. See, if you are of the bloodline, you're not an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. You're not a stranger from the covenant. The covenant has always applied to us Israelites, whether we knew of the covenant or not. You see? What he's doing is he's saying this to people that are not necessarily, this is universalism. This is not only to people that are of Pharaoh's Judah or whatever. It's to all. You see what I mean? That at a time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without Yahweh in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 15 is the key to the whole thing. If you're not convinced right now, you will be. You see, the people that are so-called Gentiles are the people that the disciples were told not to go to and to avoid. And the Apostle Paul wanted to include everyone in, including his kinsmen, the Jews. And so now all can be made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see? Listen to this, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Do you wonder where antinomianism comes from? Listen very carefully. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of two, one new man, so making peace. That he might reconcile both unto Yahweh in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. You see, now, the far off are the Gentiles, right? For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Do you see what I'm talking about now? Can you understand what I'm talking about? He's giving these people false promises that the Father has not given. Now you're no more strangers and foreigners. Who would be strangers and foreigners but Gentiles and the beast of the field and the dragon seed, etc., etc.? But now you are no more. For through him we both have, meaning the Jew and the Gentile, because it's to the Jew first and then the Gentile. You know, I'm just using the word Gentile to make you, you know, that's the way this Jew is using it. This is the way the Jews have created this term to use it. Gentile, they claim, means non-Jews. All right? So, to the Jew first and then the Gentile. So listen. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. See, Paul wants to spiritualize everything because he abolished in his flesh the enmity and the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And now in verse 19, now you Gentiles, you non-Israelites, you non-sons, you non-daughters, are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of Yahweh. The Father said no such thing. What does it say in the book of Revelation, the very thing that made me wonder why I was a second-class citizen? And I asked the Father what the story was about that, and he answered. And I found out that I was an Israelite of the kingdom. And I was one of the ones that was on the inside. I was not with the dogs that were outside. See, if there are dogs outside, they're not outside the kingdom of Israel. That means that there are people that are going to be able to, there are going to be other kingdoms when the kingdom of Yahweh is established here on earth in its wholeness. And those people will be able to attend feasts, but they will not be able to enter into the city, the New Jerusalem. See, for without are dogs and so on and so forth, right? But all I'm saying is that what he's saying is now everybody can come in. Everybody can attend the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because you are now the spiritual seed of Abraham. You are now grafted in by grace through faith. It's a free gift. Only Jews could come up with such a thing. And when the way I would counsel you to understand this is, the Apostle Paul was the son of a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee and he was the son of a Pharisee. He had always been around these men that had been highly educated. So the Apostle Paul, when Yeshua picked the disciples, he picked regular men like myself. And probably better than myself, but let's just put it that I'm a regular man. Peter was a regular man. You can see that. He picked his brothers. They were just men. They weren't super learned men. They weren't, they were somebody that he could shape and train. So he spent his 3 years of his ministry training these disciples. But the Apostle Paul didn't need any training. He was just grafted in by himself. He grafted himself in. He didn't even ask Jesus. He didn't ask the Father in heaven. He just decided, well, I'm the one that's going to go to the Gentiles. I'm going to invite everybody to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm going to invite the dragon seed and the dragon to the, you know, everybody. Everybody can come in, including the Jews, whom the Father doesn't want there and will not be there. He spoke in parables so that some would not understand and not be in the kingdom. Yet Paul says, well, you see, that was wrong. He's a racist. And we're gonna fix that. And of course, the world goes along with it. The world says, oh, yeah, that's right. We all want to be included. You see, they all want to be Israelites. I was talking about this on Fireside Chat. All of the world wants to be white. Did you see how white Michael Jackson tried to make himself? He kept going until his nose was falling off of his face. Have you seen how in India the caste system is the whiter you are, the higher you are in the caste system? We don't need to be white supremacists. The whole world agrees with that. You see, the Jew wants to use that because they're out saying they are the supreme race. And a lot of the world thinks the Jews are white, so they can see evidence of somebody saying that they're white supremacists, you see. But the white people don't need to say we're supremacists. We know that we are the race, that we are, if you are a pure white man or woman, we know that we are the offspring of the Heavenly Father. We know who we are. I mean, not all of us. But I know who I am, and I know a lot of you out there know who you are. And believe me, the world wishes they could be you. They're jealous of you. They're envious of you. They're not obeying the commandments. They're doing all the things. They want your women, right? What did I just talk about with the obeying of the two things that would sum up the whole law that Yeshua talked about? Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, right? Do they love him with all their... No, they don't. I'm talking about all the dragon seed. I'm talking about all the hybrids. I'm talking about all the other races. I'm talking about the Jews. No, they don't. Now, they're also told not to covet, and they covet our nations, right? They want what we have. They've brought in these people that are called the have-nots to steal what we have. And they're going to murder to do it. They're going to rape women. They're coveting our women. They're breaking all the commandments of Yahweh. The world is breaking commandments because it's Antichrist. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I mean, the Father is amazing. Glory to him, because that's what it's all about. It's not me. This is the Father trying to speak to you and make you understand. The world is in the middle of disobeying all the commandments. Because they envy you. They envy me. They want to be us so badly. They'll color their bleach their skin. They'll make their hair blonde. They'll put contacts in. They'll try to dress like you. They'll try to put perfume so that they don't smell. They'll do anything to be us. And when they can't be us, they get very angry. This is jealousy and this is enviousness. This is evil, period. Now listen, let me get back to the Apostle Paul right here. So it's You see, they want our appearance, right? Now, the Apostle Paul wants to give them our so-called religion. What good has it done bringing the gospel to, and of course it's the wrong gospel, it's the Apostle Paul's gospel. What good has it done bringing that gospel down to Africa and to all the different have-not nations of the world? Have they adhered to it? You know why? I'm going to tell you. It's a testimony that the Apostle Paul's gospel is a failure. It's a testimony that it is not Yahweh's will, the Apostle Paul's gospel. Because if it was the gospel of Yahweh and it was meant to be what Paul says it is, it would have succeeded. It has failed over and over and over and over and over and over and over again because it is not the will of the Father. It is not the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is against every principle, against the bloodline. It's again, you see, we want to keep our bloodline pure. They all want to marry into us to upgrade themselves to being at least part white. And they want to pretend they're white. They, you know, there are blacks that want to keep that African nonsense too, but they all want white women, don't they? Because who in their right mind would want a black woman? Even an animal wouldn't want a black woman. And so, that may be cruel, but it's true. So listen, and use your common sense for just a moment, if you would. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, we were given not only the promise of redemption, but we were given, which, okay, it, the promise of redemption, redemption meaning that we have the kingdom of God living in us, and this is in our flesh and blood body, and the promise of the Holy Spirit was given us too, which is of the kingdom, and he is inside of us too. So I submit to you that flesh and blood certainly can inherit the kingdom of God. But you see, the Apostle Paul wants to make it. I know what somebody's going to say about this. Well, he means that you can't, you have to wait till you die until you go into heaven and your spirit goes into. Well, we're not going to heaven in a sense that we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb, but we're, you know, the thing is, we're going to be, the kingdom's going to be down here. Now, wherever the Father has placed those that were in the three caves when he set the captives free, they are in those areas wherever he put them. I don't know if they're in the third heaven or any of those things. He is in the seventh heaven, by the way. And the Apostle Paul claims he got his visions and everything else from the third heaven, which we'll get into some time in the future. So, flesh and blood certainly can inherit the kingdom of God. And we saw back there, didn't we? Where was that? 1 Corinthians, I don't know. I read it to you before, though. That, I'm trying to find it. I think it's 1 Thessalonians. Let me see. What was that? 1 Thessalonians. Let me just go to that real quick. 4:2. Oh, I know what it was in Ephesians. Listen. Right here he says, even in verse 5 and 6, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Well, I thought heaven flesh could not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, this is contrary thought. And the maker of these statements cannot keep his story straight when he tells his stories, and he can't keep his so-called gospel straight as he teaches in these different epistles. You see, he must be a bad liar because he can't remember. He has a real problem. As a matter of fact, he can't remember 3 days in. So, I think that is extremely incredible. Now, one of the things that I'll mention to you that William G. Finley said, and I must tell you, the more I listen to these tapes, the more I'm gathering here. I hope you're listening to the William Findlay series with the 12 different tapes, because it is really, I'm learning many, many things. I mean, I listen to them and you cannot get everything, not even in four listens you can't get it all. There's just so much there. Listen to what he says. You know in John chapter 8 that they said, the Jews, the Pharisees said, we have not been in bondage to any man, correct? Now, this is a great point. I didn't come up with it. They have not been in bondage to any man, which means they weren't in bondage in Egypt. Yet, in their pretense of being us Israelites, they practice the feast, right? The Feast of Passover. Now, the Feast of Passover is a celebration of us getting out of bondage in Egypt, the Israelites. But if they've never been in bondage in Egypt, why would they be celebrating the Feast of Passover? You see, they're so stupid. And so are we for not recognizing something like that. He pointed that out, and I have to say that's as clear as it could possibly be. If they've never been in bondage to any man, and we've read that, I did that in my John chapter 8 special teaching, it proves that they're outside of Israel, that they're not Israelites. If they've never been in bondage, we've been in bondage in Babylon, Assyria, and Egypt. So if they've not been in bondage to any man, then it's very clear that they're not of the Israelites. And it is a pretense for them to celebrate the Passover feast, which commemorates us being freed and delivered out of bondage in Egypt. Don't you find that amazing? Now, that was a real brilliant thing there. And he said he can't believe that people they've overlooked such a thing. You know, this message, praise be to the Father in heaven, this message, I knew it was going to be very, very revealing, and it is amazing to me so far. I mean, I am just blown away by some of these things. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, says the Apostle Paul. Yet the kingdom of God lives within us, and I'm in the flesh. So let's go look. It's John 7:16 is what we're going to look at next. Let me go to that. John 7. Okay, this is what I was looking for. Thank you, Father. This is exactly what I was looking for. You see, the Apostle Paul says that it's his gospel. I want you to realize that you do agree with that, right? You do agree that the Apostle Paul has said that it is his gospel. And I will go back to that thing that I had found. But I want you to understand something, that Jesus Christ did not come bringing any new doctrines with him. He states so. He says in verse 14 of John chapter 7, we'll start there. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? See? You see, Jesus was He was not learned like the scribes were either, or the Pharisees, you see. And yet he knew all this stuff. Because the Father is the one that taught him. So he was learned. But he wasn't he wasn't taught by men, you see. Now listen what Jesus says. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of Yahweh or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory." Now that's the Apostle Paul, ladies and gentlemen. "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Does the Apostle Paul seek the glory of Jesus Christ that he claims sent him? He's not really interested in the gospel of Christ at all. He's interested in, and he didn't obey the gospel of Christ. He didn't go to the people where the Israelites were dispersed. He stayed away from those people and went to non-Israelites. Now listen. Verse 19. "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?" The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man." If a man on the Sabbath, see, Moses gave the circumcision, he said, not to Jews, to Israelites. And these Jews took this on because it's an outward sign. Remember, they don't care about what's on the inside of a man. They're all about the flesh, which the Apostle Paul was totally negating the flesh, in a sense. But that doesn't mean anything, because he negated the law of circumcision. He said it wasn't important. Yet the Jews of those places made him circumcise some of his people. I forget which one it was, whether it was Timothy or whatever it is at this point. But you understand what I'm saying? Moses, this was a law given by Moses. "Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me, because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, judge righteous judgment." Now that's a mouthful right there. "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." See, when I say about the flesh, there's a lot to this thing about the Apostle Paul, like flesh and blood cannot. You have to pay attention to what he's saying. He turns everything into spiritual. In other words, now you can be, even though you're somebody that's outside the kingdom of Israel and not, you have no covenant with the Father, your people have no covenant with the Father, well, you can be grafted in. You can become the spiritual seed of Abraham, and he is now your spiritual father. And you can be a member of spiritual Israel. You see? And we know no more Christ by the flesh, but of the Spirit. You see what I mean? There's a lot of things here that we haven't realized, that we haven't thought about, and that we haven't understood. And it's getting pretty wild. So, listen to this. He says, "Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knows whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. See, that's the difference. He was sent of the Father. The Apostle Paul was sent of his own self and of his own story, with no witnesses. No one to say, oh, yes, we confirm, we saw. You know, I think it's funny that Ananias put his hands on Paul and said, you will see him and you will hear. I thought he already had seen him and heard him. See, there's a lot more to this than you could imagine, ladies and gentlemen. You see, they wanted to kill him right after he said what he said. He had told them, you want to kill me? And they said, who wants to kill you? So then he cried out this again, ye both know me, and you know whence I am, you know, where I came from. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. Now again, that's another testimony that the Jews did not know the word of God because they didn't know he's not their father. See, they can't understand his words because they are not of God. And that's what he says. But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. I, the word of God, know him. Of course, because the word is him. For I am from him, because the Father spoke him into existence, spoke this into existence. He is the literal word. Of course he's from him. And he hath sent me. Sent who? The word of God. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. And as many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? You see, they still think another Christ is coming. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Verse 33, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Who sent him? The Father in heaven. Who is he? The word of God. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we should not find him? Will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? Ladies and gentlemen, somebody got an idea from that. That's the Apostle Paul. Listen again now. Praise be to the Father in heaven. That's all I can say. Thank you, Father. Be ye glorified always, and may ye have all the glory, for it is thine and thine alone. Listen to this. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? Why, that's the very thing the Apostle Paul appointed himself to do. Ladies and gentlemen, this is rich, and it's getting richer by the moment. It looks like the naysayers of Paul have all alerted on Paul for a reason. You see, you might say, well, David, why are you doing this? Are you attacking Christianity? And my answer, of course, was not that at all, that I am not here to attack Christianity. I'm here to restore Christianity, and I'm here to attack the attack on Christianity. Just like We restore the Father's name in all those places it was taken out. We will restore the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Paul will be taken out. Because the people are going, just as I've told you, the Father let me know that it's one testament. It's not an Old Testament or a New Testament. It's one testament that the Jews divided for their own purposes and to weaken Christianity and to strengthen themselves and their fables. It's very exciting. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very exciting to be at this moment in time and find out the truth that men wished they had known, that if only we had known these things many years ago, Christianity would not be in the place that it is in today. You see that, right? Now, I'm a little over time here, but I don't really care. I want you to, if I can find this, right, here it is. Remember a while ago, and this is going to be a reiteration before I close here. Listen. This is 1 Corinthians 4, and I'm starting in verse 14. He says, I write not these things to shame you, but listen, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Are you the son of Paul? Or are we the son of the Father? You see, what's very interesting here is if you are of the Adamic race, you are of the Father. He is our Father. Not the Apostle Paul. He's a Jew. The Apostle Paul is not our Father. But obviously, the Apostle Paul and whomever he preaches his gospel to, which is not the gospel of Jesus Christ, which are dogs, pigs, sheep, goats, and everything else to be grafted in freely with a free gift, just like it's done in our nations today with welfare. You can be part of the Israelite kingdoms on the earth. Just come on in, step on the land, sign up here. Say this, you know, you're in. It's a free gift. And listen very carefully. He called us his beloved sons. Of course, I'm not his son, and neither are any of you probably either, unless you're a Jew or a non-Israelite. He says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, Yet ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I, the Apostle Paul, have begotten you through the gospel. His gospel. He is the Father. He's taken the Father's position. Not only that, but he can write commandments to you. And whatever he says is a commandment or commands you to do, it's automatically stamped right by the Father, according to the Apostle Paul, that is. He says, listen to this. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Have you ever heard of the Peter or anybody making new commandments? I haven't. But Paul has. And he wants you to be a follower of him, and he wants you to be his. See, what have I been teaching all of you, ladies and gentlemen, is not to be followers of men and not to be followers of institutions. Herefore, we've got a problem here. The Apostle Paul, and this is where the Catholic Babylonian institution gets all this stuff from, about being fathers and all this stuff. He says, though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. What did the Father say about Father? For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Not through Jesus Christ's gospel, but through the Apostle Paul's gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. And so that you would be followers of Paul, he says in verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, not as and faithful in the Lord, he says. That's for sure. He's his beloved son, but he's not his literal son. He's one of the begotten of the Apostle Paul's gospel. And so he wants us to be followers of him, and for this cause he sent Timotheus, who is his beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you in remembrance of my ways, of the Apostle Paul's ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So, Paul has become sort of a mediator, or almost equal to Christ in this situation. You see, his ways. Who is the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me, the word of God. Right? Paul says, Timotheus shall bring you into remembrance of Paul's ways, which be in Christ, he says, as he teaches everywhere in every church. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you are listening. Do you know what he says in verse 20 that blows my mind? I just checked it out. He says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. I leave you with that thought. Let me read it again for you. Verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. But Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And who is he? He's the Word. But Paul says the kingdom of God is not in word. Ladies and gentlemen, these devils have stepped way out over the lines. And everybody gave him a free pass, including me. I didn't really care about the Apostle Paul's works, but the more we look at it, the worse it's getting, isn't it true? We will restore. See, when I restore audio, it takes a whole lot of work. There's many steps to it. And when we restore Christianity to what it's supposed to be, and restore the word as to be one testament, it's going to take a lot of work. But the Father is there, and he shall help us. So who do you believe? Do you believe the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power? Or do you believe that Jesus Christ said that I am the way, the truth, and the life? No man comes unto the Father but by me. And who is he? He's the Word. The Word is the way, the Word is the life, and the Word is the truth. Who do you agree with? Do you agree with the Apostle Paul? Do you want to go his way? Is the Apostle Paul the way? Ladies and gentlemen, may Yahweh richly bless you with his wisdom. May he restore Christianity to its former glory. May he reestablish the gospel of Jesus Christ and unconfuse and disinherit the world that he does not like and does not want anything to do with. In the mighty name of Yahweh, we all pray this.
We gotta clean up the mess. You know that's true. We gotta clean up the mess. I'm a telling you. We gotta clean up the mess. You know that's right. We gotta clean up the mess, both day and both night. This mess has been a happening far and wide. This mess has been a hurting our nation's pride. This mess has gotta be cleaned.